Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2020. This morning I will talk about tension with God. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our lives to draw us closer to you. Save us from our own evil thoughts and feelings. Unstop our ears, open our eyes, and flood our hearts with the promptings of your Holy Spirit. Forgive our sin, redeem us from our transgressions, and cleanse us from our iniquities. Give us a heart for your word and grant us the mind of Christ. Teach us to lean on your law and to share your grace that we might become true disciples, honored to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, honored to be merciful, honored to pursue godliness. Through the power of your Holy Spirit and the grace available to us through Jesus Christ, in Jesus' precious name, amen. In Acts 9, verses 4 to 5, we read, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." The idea of tension with God surprises many Christians for at least three reasons. The first reason is that the church's focus is on the humanity of Christ and off the divinity of Christ, which cloaks the urgings of the Holy Spirit, leaving us ignorant of our distance from God. The second reason is that a focus on conversion and off of sanctification, that is, the process of nurturing our faith, leaves us living secular lifestyles ignorant of God's will for our lives. The final reason is that our indifference to sin blinds us to our true selves in Christ, to our neighbors, and to God. It is not an accident that each of these three reasons is highly theological, because postmoderns mostly avoid theology, a fourth reason which might be why tension with God may come as a surprise. The postmodern focus on the emotional content of faith and off of the implications of these three theological trends hides our tension with God and quietly robs our faith of its power, like a vacuum cleaner that has been unplugged. Oblivious to the tension, Christians are lulled into believing in a kind of tension-free ersatz Christianity that provides individualized services such as childcare and generally promises to insulate them from the problems of life without substantial obligation. When life's problems arise, their ersatz Christianity provides no substantive guidance for dealing with them, leading people to become angry with God and to leave the church. It is accordingly helpful to review the reasons that people are unaware of the tension between them and God. Our secular society questions Christ's divinity but has no problem with Jesus' humanity. If Christ is only human, then Jesus is no more than an interesting teacher. The church becomes another interest group, and conversion is as mundane as joining another club. If Christ is not divine, then Jesus' teachings have no claim on us, and we can simply ignore any tension with God that Jesus' teaching might signal. Over the centuries, Christian leaders have debated the priority of conversion over sanctification. For example, Jonathan Edwards, often praised as the great American theologian, advocated that church members have a personal relationship with Jesus, a fruit more of sanctification than conversion, only to have his Northampton church dismiss him in 1795. If sanctification can be thought of as a series of conversion experiences whose consequence is a closer relationship with God, then tension with God may be seen as a sign of progress in spiritual formation and maturity. Think about the tension with God in the life of the Apostle Paul. When God told Ananias to go and baptize Paul, he questioned God's intentions. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is my chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." This is Acts 9:15-16. Paul was called as a Christian and as apostle to the Gentiles and to suffer for the name. Do you think Paul's calling created tension in his life, with God and with others? Paul himself described the life he gave up as a rabbi and a Jew as rubbish compared to what he had gained as a believer. Still, he met every sort of affliction during his ministry and struggled with an unanswered prayer, a thorn in the flesh, a euphemism perhaps suggesting a grievous sin over which he was not victorious. The point in this example is that if tension with God is a challenge, even for the spiritually mature, then being unaware of our tension with God signals spiritual immaturity, or worse, spiritual lethargy. Spiritual lethargy starts with ignoring sin, which even a hardened atheist should worry about. Sin can be doing evil, which we call sin, breaking the law, which we call transgressions, or failing to do good, which we might call iniquity. Sin cuts us off from ourselves, from our neighbors, and from God, which leads to tensions in all three dimensions. Ignoring sin is like driving too fast on an icy road or throwing dirty sand in your gas tank. It can hurt others and messes up everything, including our relationship with God. God's forgiveness through Christ sets us right with God and relieves our guilt, but it does not, in most instances, reverse the effect of sin on our person and on others. God can forgive the murderer, for example, but that does not bring the dead person back to life or relieve the perpetrator of punishment under the law. Tension with God is more critical than tension with human relationships because our existence depends on God. It's like a diver at a depth of 300 feet discarding an air tank because life itself is threatened. Sin cuts us off from God, but when we deal with it, the channels of communication with God open up, and we can perceive the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When we obey the Spirit's prompting, we join God in His ongoing creative work in the world and become more sanctified like Jesus, which involves pain and sacrifice. In turn, our sacrifices signal to God, to those around us, and to ourselves that our transformation in Christ is real. Jesus honors disciples who faithfully pursue godliness. Honored are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Honored are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Honored are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is Matthew 5, verses 6 to 8. Notice that these Beatitudes mirror attributes that God uses to describe Himself: merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is Exodus 34, 6. And they offer a key to growing as divine image bearers. These admonitions remind us that God is interested not so much in what we do as in who we become. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.